And I will say this. I just had one thing. Beverly was telling me that before he came, that she had an address for Margie that she was going to put that on the bulletin board. So I saw her walk back there before service. So she did put that back there. That is also on the website. So if you'd want to send Margie a card, you can get that off the website, or it's on the bulletin board back here. So you can look at those things. But I appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate Kevin opening up with a prayer list there and taking care of those things just to help us out. And I thank God for that. But I'm glad you're here tonight. Hope something will be said or done tonight that'll be a blessing to your heart and to your life. I looked again this week as the week started, and I thought, Lord, would let me go on back into the fourth chapter of the book of James, but he steered me again in another direction. I haven't forgotten about the book of James, and I'm not saying the Lord won't let me get back there. I'm hoping that he will. But for tonight, he led me in another way. So if you'll take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Timothy, the second chapter. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, starting in the first verse, Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that he may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Hereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ in light heart, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore then be and pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That is reading verses 1 through 8 in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. That which the Lord has placed on my heart tonight. When we hear the word priorities, I think we all know what that really means. When we think of it, it means that we're talking about what comes first and what comes second, and what comes third, and so on in our life. But how do we line up the priorities in our life? How do we determine what comes first and what comes second and what comes third and so on? You see, life gets pretty busy for each of us. Schedules get crammed full with a lot of things in our lives. And I'm talking about important things, the things that we have to take care of and things that we have to look after in our lives. There are work things, and for many there are school things. There are household things. There are family things. There are medical things. There are church things. And then the list seems to just go on and on and on. At times we feel stretched and pressed to the limits by all. We feel the pressures of all that life puts on us. And then there are decisions that we all have to make. There are decisions that are family decisions, financial decisions, and future decisions, and more. And then not even talking about the spiritual, the decisions that we deal with in our life. Things that involve the spiritual man. We're dealing with temptations in life, the trials of life, the burdens of life, and the sorrows, and all of those things that the spiritual man encounters in life. But how do we deal with all of that? When you take all of those things and mix them all together, how do you deal with it? And what do you put as first in your life to face all of that and handle all of those things? Well, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, as he is writing to him, that the priority that Timothy needed in his life was prayer. He says in the first verse of the chapter, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Paul says, I say unto you, I exhort you, I challenge you, I encourage you, that first of all, that prayer be in your life. First of all, that is that phrase, first of all, it means this. It is the idea that above all else, of supreme importance, that you are to put prayer first of all in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't seek good advice from other people. That doesn't mean, by no means at all, that doesn't mean that reading your Bible should not have a priority in your life. But the Apostle Paul says to Timothy that I exhort you that first of all, prayer needs to be in your life. I say to you tonight, are you feeling overwhelmed by life? Then pray. Are you feeling pressed out of measure by life? Then pray. Are you dealing with more questions than answers? Then pray. Are you anxious about life? Then pray. Are you looking for direction for your life? Then pray. That is what Paul is saying to Timothy, this young preacher. He is saying, Timothy, I exhort you, first of all, pray. Be a man. Be a person of prayers. So that's what I want to think about tonight for the remainder of our time. I want to think about the importance or the priority of prayer. The importance or the priority of prayer. There are some things that Paul says to Timothy that we ought to have in our lives and in our prayer lives. So for a little bit, I want to look at them. So first of all, I want us to think about the danger that motivates us to pray. The danger that motivates us to pray. Hell, to understand that, I see it when I catch the word in verse 1 when Paul says, therefore. And we have often said it, that when you see the word therefore, that you've got to ask the question, what is it there for? So you've got to ask, what is Paul saying that for? When he says, I sort therefore, first of all. So what is he referring back to? So you've got to look back to chapter 1. So you've got to keep in mind, let me say this, keep in mind that when Paul wrote this letter, it wasn't divided up into chapters and verses. It was all together. So whenever we look at it, we see chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, so forth. But when Paul wrote it, he was all together. So whenever we look at it, what he said in chapter 1 connects to chapter 2. So look at the last part of chapter 1. He says in verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before of thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and the good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul challenges Timothy to war a good warfare, to hold the faith. Paul is saying, stay true to what you believe. Fight a good fight. Hold fast to the faith, because some have made shipwreck of the faith. And he mentions too, Hymenaeus and Alexander. So then he goes right into chapter 2, those verses where he says, I exhort therefore that first of all. So Paul is saying, fight that good fight. Hold fast to the faith. And the way you're going to do it is going to be praying. So Paul is saying, there is the danger that you, if you don't pray, that you too could be a shipwreck in the faith. Do you realize there is a danger tonight that you and I could be swayed by false doctrine? That's what happened to Hymenaeus and Alexander. If you follow their story, they got off in the false doctrine. They made a shipwreck of the faith. And Paul challenges Timothy, stay true to the faith. And he says, the way you're going to do it, stay a man of prayer. I want to tell you, there is that danger for you and I that we too could be led astray, that you and I could get caught up into something out there that could mess us up and lead us astray. So we need to be a people of prayer, seeking the face of God, staying true to the faith. So Paul says, Timothy, first of all, make prayer a priority in your life. So I challenge you and I to make prayer a priority. Don't let it be a casual thing in your life, but be a person of prayer. Sometimes we get pressed, pushed, departed with his bride. But pray, seek the face of God. Ask God to help us to stay close to Him in these days. So there is the danger that motivates us to pray. But then secondly, notice the distinctions that mark our prayers. The distinctions that mark our prayers. In other words, what should our prayers look like? What are the kinds of things that should be in our prayers? Paul tells him. So look at it. He says, supplications. Supplications. That word, it means to approach God about particular needs. It is the idea of carrying a particular need to God in prayer. It has the idea of a deep sense of urgency, of brokenness on our behalf, seeking the face of God for ourselves or somebody else. That's what supplication is all about. Sometimes I'm afraid our prayers just become routine. Sometimes I'm afraid our prayers become casual. Sometimes we have certain things we just pray about them and go our way and don't give them much thought. But supplication are those prayers where you really get urgent with God. That's the kind of prayer that you get serious. That you get down to business. Pleading with God to hear and help. It is the idea. I liken it to that father that came to Jesus about his son that needed healing. And his prayer to Jesus was, come down, hear my child die. I believe that's what supplication is all about. It is when you don't care what anybody else thinks. You don't care what anybody else is saying about you, that you're doing business with God, crying out for God to hear and help. That's supplicating. Paul said that that ought to be a part of our prayers. And then always in my prayer, I'll be honest with you, that isn't always a part of my prayer. Sometimes it is. There are times my heart is so broken. There have been times that I have been so heavy-hearted that I couldn't get anything out but tears. But God knew my heart. I believe that's supplication to the Lord. Paul said supplication. Secondly, Paul said prayers. You said, preacher, that don't go without saying. But that word prayers emphasizes the person of God. It is a reminder to Timothy that when you pray, that you're talking to God. It is a reminder that when you approach Him, that in your prayer, there ought to be a time of worship in it. That you ought to recognize just who you're talking to. That when you approach Him, that you don't approach Him in a flippant, careless, and light manner. But you approach Him in a worshipful and a holy manner. Realizing that you ought to worship Him because of who He is. I believe worship ought to be a part of our prayers. Recognizing that He's God. But then he goes on and he says, intercession. That word intercession, it is the idea of somebody entering the throne room of the King with an official request. You realize when we go to the Lord in prayer, that is exactly what we're doing. That you and I have the tremendous privilege of walking into the throne room of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to talk to Him about our needs and the needs of others. That you and I approach Him as a loving Father and a powerful God. Intercession, it means that you and I can approach Him about our needs, about the needs of somebody else or some situation that's on our hearts. When people give us prayer requests and we carry them on our hearts to the Lord in prayer, that is an intercession for them to the Father. We're interceding to God on their behalf. But then he mentions one other. He said in giving of thanks. In other words, he says that when you pray, that there ought to be a part of thanking Him while you pray. Thanking Him for hearing. Thanking Him for answering. Thanking Him for working. At the same time that you're asking, thanking Him for doing a work even before He does it. Trusting Him to hear in the process. Thanking Him that He will hear and that He will answer. Praise ought to be a part of our prayers. So that's what Paul says. That ought to be a part of our prayers. Some distinctions that mark our prayers. But thirdly, Paul gives some directives that make up our prayers. He tells us some things about particulars that we should pray about. Some things in particular that we should carry to God in prayer. You might say, preacher, I don't know all that I should pray about. Paul tells us some things. He says in verse 2, he says, well, at the end of verse 1, that these prayers be made for all men. Be made for all men. We're here to pray for all men. Be praying for everybody. But then in particular, he said, for people in authority. Look at this. For kings and for all men in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. He said we ought to pray for those in authority. The king. Kings and all that are in authority. I just wonder that when Timothy read those words, I wonder if the thought ran through his mind, Paul, surely you don't mean I'm to pray for Nero. You see, Nero was the king at that time. He was the Caesar in authority. And Nero, at this time, Nero had burned the city of Rome and blamed the Christians for it. And he was persecuting Christians. And it was a persecution that in a short while that would take the life of the Apostle Paul himself. But Paul says, pray for the king and all who are in authority. He is saying, Timothy, pray for even Nero. Pray for the king. And pray for all who are in authority. He said, pray for them. We're to pray for our national leaders. We're to hold them up to God. You say, preacher, what should we pray for them? Pray for their salvation. Ask God to save them. Ask God if they are saved. Pray and say, God, if they are saved, keep them in your care. Guide them in your will. Give them wise counsel. Help them to make the right choices that we might be able to live a quiet and peaceable life, that we might honor you. God, would you work behind the scenes? Would you help them to do what's right? I ask you, do you pray for them? I'll say this, I don't know. I don't know about you. But here lately, I've been praying for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. You say, preacher, surely not. I have. You say, what are you praying? I'm asking God to save them. Because I don't think they are. I'm saying, God, save Joe Biden. Save Kamala Harris. I pray that God do a work in their heart. Hey, you say, why? Because there's a possibility they may win. So I'm praying. I'm saying, God, I don't know how this thing may turn out. But you put your hand on this thing. I'm praying for our governor. I'm praying for those in our local government. He said, pray for those who are in authority. And we ought to. You say, preacher, I hadn't thought about that. Paul said, pray for them. Pray for all who are in authority. He said in verse 3, for that's pleasing to the Lord. Pleasing to the Lord. I ask you tonight, pray for them. Challenge you. Pray for them. Ask God to work a work in their heart. Then look, not only that, praying for people in authority, but pray for people's salvation. Look in verse 4 through 6. He said, who will have hold him to be saved? Let me pause. If his will to have hold him to be saved, don't that mean Joe Biden, Kamala Harris? Don't that mean our governor? Don't that mean all of them? Sure it does. His will for all men to be saved. He said to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified to time. There's only one way that people are going to be saved. It is through the man Christ Jesus. And he said we are to pray for people to be saved. That ought to be our prayer. God save sinners. But I want to tell you, we ought not just pray that in general, but we ought to pray that in particular. You ought to have some people on your heart. There ought to be some people that you have on your heart that you're asking God to save. Preacher, do you have them? Yes. I have people on my prayer list that every day I am asking God to save them by His grace. I'm asking God to open their eyes, to show them that they're lost, to convict them, to save them. Why? Because there's going to come a day that time will end and opportunity will be passed. So we need to be praying for God to save sinners, for people to be saved. But there's a third thing. We need to be praying for the promotion of the truth. Verse 7. Paul said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. You say, preacher, what are you saying? We ought to pray for those who are preaching and teaching the word of truth. We need to pray for preachers. We need to pray for teachers. We need to pray for missionaries. We need to pray for our church leaders. We need to ask God to help them. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your preacher. I need it. Pray for other preachers. Pray for men of God that they may stand boldly and preach the Word of God in these days. We are living in a day that we are seeing a lot of preachers that are getting discouraged, and they are quitting the ministry and taking secular jobs because they're tired of it. They're tired of the pressures. They're tired of the problems. They're tired of the burdens. And they're giving it up. And they're leaving the ministry. And they're quitting. I read the statistic not long ago of how many Southern Baptist preachers and pastors are leaving the ministry every year. And it shocked me. It shocked me. We need to pray that God encourage men of God to keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. I got an email from Jimmy Mercado just the other day. Just a simple little email. He said, "Brother Pastor Tony, I just wanted to send a note to tell you hello, to tell you thank you for preaching the truth, and to say keep preaching. Keep preaching. I love you." And he signed it. That's it. Just a short little email. Okay, that encouraged my heart. We need to pray for preachers, for missionaries, for church leaders. But then lastly, notice what he said. This is him and I'm closing. Verse 8, he said, "I will that men pray everywhere." He said, pray everywhere. Pray at home. Pray at the church. Pray in your car. Pray at work. Pray everywhere. I had a preacher call me yesterday. And we were just talking. And he made the statement just kind of in passing. He said, "I was in the shower the other day. And I was just praying, talking to the Lord. And the Lord did this." And he laughed and he said, "I do a lot of praying in the shower. And I thought I do too. I pray while I'm shaving. I pray while I'm dressing. I pray while I'm doing a lot of things around the house." I'm just saying, Paul said, pray everywhere. Pray while you're doing housework. Pray while you're mowing grass. Pray while you're in the garden. Pray everywhere. He says, lifting up holy hands. Do it with a pure heart. He said, without wrath. Not having any kind of malice or hard feelings. And he said, without doubting. He said, without wrath and doubting. Good faith. Good faith. Paul challenges Timothy. Make it a priority to pray. I challenge you, church, tonight. Pray. Make that a priority in your life. Be a person of prayer. Be a person of prayer. Maybe you say, "Well, I get so busy I just don't have time." Sure you do. I guarantee you, while you're running your errands, you've got time to pray. While you're riding to work, talk to the Lord. You don't have to close your eyes. Please don't close your eyes while you're riding down the road. Please don't. But just talk to the Lord. Talk to Him out loud. Talk to Him while you ride this around the house. I lay in the bed and talk to Him. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and lay there and talk to Him. I'll wake up early and I'll just talk to Him. I don't know what's happened to me. For the last while, something has happened to my sleep pattern. I don't know what's happened. For the last while, I wake up about 4 o'clock every morning, and I can't go back to sleep. You say, what do? I'll lay and talk to the Lord. I'll just talk to Him. I'll lay there, not out loud, but I'll just talk to the Lord. I'm saying, yes, you have time to talk to the Lord. Just talk to Him. Be a people of prayer. Paul said, first of all, make it a priority. That's my challenge tonight, church. Let's be a people of prayer. Let's be a people of prayer. I appreciate you being here tonight. Thank God for you being in the